for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 259 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week I've got a special interview with quite an accomplished indie comics creator, and that's Joe Martino, who has done many books including Shadow Flame, The Mighty Titan, and other ones that I'll list when I'm talking with him during the interview. Joe recently concluded a successful Kickstarter for the 20th anniversary of Shadow Flame, and he's got other things in the works as well, a lot of which we'll get into. He discusses how he got started a little ahead of the game, I think, as far as indie comics creation goes, as well as what he's got in mind for the future. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. Just a note that the music that's going to play as the intro to his interview comes from the Kickstarter, and the voice you're going to hear is the bad guy who we'll delve into during the interview. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show.
Will soon be at an end. The ones that live will worship a new god. This world is mine.
It's great to welcome to the podcast Joe Martino, creator of many interesting and wonderful little indie books. We're going to talk about Shadow Flame, which recently had a successful Kickstarter, but Cyberines, The Mighty Titan, Ripper Man, Unit 5. Man, Joe, you're a really big creator for this time. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing good. Joe, why don't we start off by talking about what you've been doing? Because we just had a 20th anniversary for Shadow Flame.
Right.
So that's at least that long you've been working in independent comics. And a lot of people think indie comics is a recent phenomenon, but it's not really. How did you get involved in making your own comics back in the mid-1990s, it seems like?
Well, basically, I created a lot of these characters when I was a kid, you know, 14, 15 years old. I can't even tell you what the catalyst was for me to start self-publishing. Mm-hmm. I went to a couple conventions and showed my stuff to, you know, artists and writers and, you know, publishers. And I just got a feeling that either I was going to do this myself or I wasn't going to do it. Mm-hmm. Just like today, you know, kids come to my table and they show me stuff and I'm like, you know, you're not there yet. This is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of me taking it as a negative, I took it as a positive just to do it my own way, and I would just do it. I'm not going to let somebody else have a, the best way to put it maybe would say, I wasn't going to let them tell me I wasn't good enough.
Right. You know? So how did you, you know, because back in those days, I think that printing was a very expensive ballgame as far as doing that, you know, finding a printer at that point and, you know, doing, coordinating the team, which now, of course, we have the internet, which
yeah.
makes it much easier. What did you have to do in order to make that happen back then?
When I did the original book, I was going to do everything myself. And then I wound up meeting a couple of guys from Visage Studios, if you know Rich Buckler. Mm-hmm. Rich Buckler had a studio in New York City. And I went to the predecessor of New York Comic Con at the Javits. Mm-hmm. And I wound up meeting a guy named John Orlando. Mm-hmm. And we just probably talked for 2 hours at the show. And he looked at my stuff. And we had a lot of the same kind of influences. And he introduced me to his partner, coworker, whatever you want to call it, Nasser Subashi, who was an inker. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, I never even thought about getting an inker. I didn't even, you know, but I figured it would help me get stuff done and maybe bring it to another level, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I look at that stuff now, you know, I put out 4 issues of Shadow Flame between 96 and 97. Mm-hmm. And they were probably right. You know, I probably had no business doing comics at the time, but I did all four, and I was happy to have issue four was actually released from CFD Productions, which is Cry for Dawn, if you remember Linsner, Joe Linsner and Joe Monks. So he actually put out the fourth issue of Shadow Flame, which is kind of cool for me because then I finally got published. Because you could do it yourself all day long, but the day someone says to you, hey, man, I really like your stuff. Can we do this for you? You know, that's the day when you're like, ooh, maybe I almost made this, you know?
Now, is Shadow Flame your first one?
Shadow Flame was the first book I did. I wrote it, I would say, mid-1995, and I worked the Marvel way, which is kind of funny to say that, because if you know what the Marvel way is, it's you do the plot first, and then you script to the art. But considering the fact that I was penciling and writing it, you know, when I say I did it the Marvel way, I was still doing everything mostly myself anyway, so... And I still, all of Shadow Flame, if you notice, issue three and four were drawn by different guys. Nasser, who was the inker in the first two issues, penciled the third issue. And Rick Buckler Jr., son of Rich, drew the fourth issue and brought everything just to another level.
Well, I don't know. I read the first two issues. You made those available to me so I could read them. I liked the art on the first two issues. I thought that the writing and the art were pretty strong. You talk sometimes in like the Kickstarter and stuff. We'll get into the 20th anniversary in a little bit. But you talk about the fact that there's an adventure, a sense of action and stuff that went on in the 80s comics and stuff like that. And I thought you captured that real well in this book. You know, all four issues, even though, honestly, at first I didn't even notice that you had other artists working on your stuff because it was fairly similar to what you were doing. From your perspective, I'm sure it seemed like it was more. But honestly, I enjoyed all four issues. I thought them very, very similar as far as that goes.
Well, you had to bear in mind that the original issues that I did in 1996 were black and white. And what you read and I sent you was the books that came out through Arcana in 2007, which was I redrew the first two issues and had Peter Palmiotti inking. So when you really look at it, yeah, I mean, it looks a lot better than the original books, which were, I mean, for lack of a better word, they were just amateur, you know. I mean, I like doing them. I had fun. I still, to this day, the only reason I do this is because I thoroughly enjoy writing and drawing comics, which is I think a lot of people get into it for that reason.
Well, of course, you know, the important thing is storytelling. If you enjoy storytelling, that's going to matter as far as the comics go. And you get a real strong sense of storytelling in these. The dialogue is real important. The action and the facial expressions are real strong. So along those lines, I really liked what you did with all these things. And I, you know, honestly, I'm happy there is a 20th anniversary. So let's get to that because you just concluded a Kickstarter. In which it was successful, which was great. And now that money is going to produce a hardcover, right, with some extra material that we haven't seen before, right?
Correct. We have, I don't have a page count yet. I'm actually still working on the back matter. And I wrote a story back in, I want to say, originally when I was doing the new relaunch, it was going to be five issues. And the fourth issue was going to be a telling of a story where we find out that Shadow Flame wasn't the first Shadow Flame, let's put it that way. And I wrote it back then, but I never produced it. I went right to issue four, issue five, or the other way around, sorry. And so what you're seeing is at that point, we went right from issue three, and I had a backstory that I was going to do to show actually Shadow Flame's father, that he was in 1988. At the time, it was actually 1985, excuse me. It was actually 1975, but since time changed, you know, time went forward. And I actually created Shadow Flame in 1985, that I made the story based in 1985. And I got a guy from France who draws just like John Byrne. So it literally looks like Superman from 1985, like when John Byrne was doing Superman. And I'm doing the coloring. I'm actually coloring it like that, too. You know, bright colors and no cell shading, nothing like that. It looks like it came out of 1980s. I wish I could print it on newsprint, to be honest with you.
Which is very cool. Now, why the 20th anniversary? Was the time right to do the hardcover? Did you have other stories you wanted to tell, and this was a basis from which to go? How come you did a 20th anniversary Kickstarter?
I think everybody, well, the fact that it was 20 years was very cool to me, and I always wanted to do a hardcover. You know, for me, you know, I collect a lot of the Marvel omnibus hardcovers, you know, with the dust jackets and all that. And I wanted to do something like that for the longest time. So the beginning of this year, I looked at it and I'm like, well, this is the 20th year. Shadow Flame came out January of 1996. So what would be more perfect than to do a 20th anniversary? So I sat down and I crunched the numbers and I figured what I could do it for. And, you know, everything came together. I almost missed it because just everything gets in the way, you know. I got four kids, you know, life, and my daughters just went to college. And I almost didn't get to do it, you know. I almost, it wound up being a 21st anniversary almost. But I did get it in 1996. So even though it'll probably be released in 97, I can still could hang my hat on that. But, I mean, mostly just because... And a lot of, it's funny because Shadow Flame, I haven't produced as many as I would have liked to, but when I was promoting this and guys that never heard of Shadow Flame, which obviously would be plenty, you hear these guys like, oh, you know, I'm a comic book guru and, you know, I know every comic ever made and I never saw Shadow Flame. And I'm like, well, that makes sense because I never had the money to promote it, you know? So unlike when I did the Mighty Titan books, also were all done through Kickstarter. That's what made that so popular, was just the sheer volume of people that shared it and, you know, wanted to see the actual Kickstarter succeed. And I find like that happened again with Shadow Flame. Nobody knew who this guy was except for, you know, his small loyal fan base. And now it's like, wow, you know, people are starting to notice Shadow Flame, and it's just, I'm a kid again, you know. It's like, wow, look at this, you know.
Hey, didn't do so badly 20 years ago, as far as that goes. You know, it's making a comic that was fun to read, lots of adventure. You know, the baddies are bad and the goodies are good, and there's some gray areas in between. And I really like that. Now, why don't you talk a little bit about the characters, and let's start off with the main guy who becomes Shadow Flame in the first issue. His name is Tom Wyatt. Is he based on anybody you knew, or is he kind of a generic? He starts out a little bit generic, but then he turns into the hero, and it brings out some interesting aspects of his personality. Do you want to talk about him or how you came up with him?
Sure. You know, I mean, to me, the strength of a hero is who he really is, who he is when he takes the suit off. And I didn't want to just do another comic book about a guy who lost his wife and then he becomes a hero because he lost his wife. This is more, he became a hero in spite of the fact that he lost his wife. He doesn't want to be a hero. He doesn't think he is a hero. You know, as far as he's concerned, he's the reason his wife's dead. His ambition, his... maybe ambition's the wrong word, but his...
Goal?
His goal, right, to get his... It's almost like, you know, I guess we all go through this. You know, you work so hard to better your family and to better your life, and in the meantime, you're pushing them away because you're working too hard, right? A lot of people do this, and there's a lot of backstory that isn't there yet, but the reason she's gone is because Tom, and you remember there's the Baltanetti family, so... Those guys came there looking for Tom. They weren't there looking for Janice. So in his mind, the whole reason that she's gone is because A, he wasn't home, and B, he was looking at stuff he probably should have just left alone, you know. But being a cop and being from a family of cops and Marines and character, you know, people that are noble and will take on things like this regardless of the cost, right? I mean, I guess he never imagined he would have lost his wife. But it's not like he lost his wife and he was like, oh, well, now I'm going to go out and defeat evil. He was defeated. He was done. He was, well, as you know, you read the book, he was finished. He was a month after she died and he was ready to just go join her, in a sense. And these guys are like, nope, you can't do this. It's without you, there's no one to protect the world from this big bad that's coming. You know, I guess at that point, he found a reason to live. It took a little longer. Like, it's not like the day he got the powers, he's like, ooh, I'm now Shadow Flame. But I would say by the end of the four issues, he definitely has grown into himself.
You know? Talk about the name of the character, because, you know, it's an interesting dichotomy. You've got Shadow, which is dark, and Flame, which is usually bright. You combine the two of them, and it's dark flames when they come out. And the costume kind of reflects that. My understanding is you generated the costume, right? You came up with that. Was that back in when you were first coming up with the concept?
I created Shadow Flame in 84 or 85. And it's kind of a funny story. I was a kid, you know, and I wanted to, originally when I created Shadow Flame, it was going to be Invisible Fire. And I just, as a morbid 13, 14, 15 year old, I wanted to draw a guy's face being melted off and you being able to see that. Mm. When I got back into it in the early 90s, I said, you know, I don't want to do Invisible Fire. I always liked the idea of black matter, or remember there was a character in Marvel Comics called Darkstar.
Right.
That she could control, and there was another one I think called Blackstar, something like that. Mm-hmm. I just remember the costume. He had an all black costume and a lightning bolt on his face. But there was also the woman who was Darkstar. Mm-hmm. And they controlled this black matter. Well, I just thought, how cool would it be for, like you said, something that's so bright, mm-hmm. like fire, just to make that completely black. Like there's no variation. Mm-hmm. Every time I draw it, and I tell anybody who draws it, that all it can be is solid black mm-hmm. with a white outline, if you want to do the white outline. Mm-hmm. But if not, then it can't be like shades of gray. Mm-hmm. It's got to be black flame completely.
This is very Batman-esque of the way it is, because Batman is supposed to be in the shadows and the dark, mm-hmm. and yet he's supposed to be a very noble and, you know, he fights for the right and stuff like that. So you've got a shadow flame as something like a Batman character with powers along mm-hmm. those lines. So I like that because, you know, Superman is always, we know what he's going to do a lot of the time, but with Batman, we're not exactly sure. Mm-hmm. And with Shadow Flame, we're not exactly sure, too. There's that gray area, which is so much fun to explore and which Batman spends a lot of time in these days. So I was, you know, I just, if you're thinking about more Shadow Flame, I think this is the time to do it, to be honest with you, because we like the gray areas.
Yeah, it's definitely coming back, which is kind of against what I'm into. I'm not really an anti-hero guy. Mm-hmm. I grew up with Superman. I was a big X-Men fan, but I consider that my late teens. But when I was a kid, Superman was it. So Shadow Flame kind of is my Superman, mm-hmm. but he's also like, probably a like you're saying, more like a Superman mixed with an anti-hero, like say the Punisher, mm-hmm. but not so far because he's not a killer, and it's very strong that he's not a killer. And in the original Shadow Flame, one thing I did change in the original Shadow Flame, he does kill Tommy Boltanetti at the end of the first issue. And I just regretted it, because I'm going to be honest with you. The reason I did it was because it was the 90s and everybody was doing these really vile characters and I felt like I had to. Mm. And I missed the whole 90s boom. I didn't see any of that. You know, I don't know whether it's good or bad, but I missed all that extreme stuff. So for me, comics were still George Perez and John Byrne, which thank God they still sort of are today. But mm-hmm. still those old school thick ink lines and, you know, bigger than life characters, you know, like it seems like they're like, if you look at the movies now and the comics are trying to follow that, and everything is like, it's like trying to be real. Mm-hmm. You know, I could look out my back window and see real. Mm-hmm. If I want to see real, I can see real every day. I want super, you know, I want, you know, your character should be flawed, mm-hmm. but they should still be super, mm-hmm. you know.
I agree with that, because this is one of the reasons why I prefer DC to Marvel. You're probably more of a Marvel guy. But Marvel, you know, Spider-Man gets cold, and Invisible Woman has a bad hair day and stuff like mm-hmm. that. You don't see that stuff in DC. It's much more Superman. If he gets affected by kryptonite, it's because of something big. It's not because it's just a low thing that takes him down. So mm-hmm. that's why I kind of like this book. I kind of got that feel again of the 80s stuff, when it was kind of fun to read and there was adventure going on. And you didn't know what was going to happen next, and you kept turning the pages in order to get to that. And so I got that a lot out of these comics, was that I enjoyed the being able to turn the page and find out what's going to happen next, mm-hmm. which just was such a fun thing to do. I haven't felt that in quite a long time. You know, a lot of the books today, they still, I think, in some levels, and DC's trying to reverse this with Rebirth, but there's still a lot of darkness in it, in mm-hmm. the sense that we expect everything to go badly.
Right, right.
And when something goes well, we're kind of surprised by that, you know, and it's not something that happens very often. But with your book, there's a lot, there's good and bad happening. There's things that are great that take place. And then, of course, let's get to the bad. And that's, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Maldestrack? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah, perfect, actually. Maldestrack, yeah.
Yeah, because he's, you got the word mal, which means bad, and distract, which kind of means, is like destroy. So mm-hmm. you've got all the negatives you can get in there, which is really good. I like the design of the aliens. And I like the costumings of them and stuff. And I love the fact that the people, most of the aliens that this revolves around are pacifists.
Right.
Which is a great thing, because most aliens we see and come to Earth trying to destroy the planet or take over the planet or something like that. So to see a bunch of pacifists, except for one guy who really is like that, who really wants to go and destroy or take over, it was just such a great thing to see that contrast in an alien, because normally, like, all aliens are the same. We just got done watching the DC crossover for 4 episodes, and they had the Dominators, and all the Dominators are exactly the same.
Okay.
You know, and so to see this dichotomy within an alien race was kind of fun, because humans were not the same. They're good and bad and in between. Mm-hmm. And to see an alien race like that, I thought was very creative and very, you know, ahead of your time as far as that goes, because today I wish that they had seen that in the DC crossover, but we won't go there. But I like the way that it moves along, and I like the fact that we see a lot taking place. And you've laid a really great foundation, I think, as far as the bad guy goes, and as far as the good guy goes, there's a lot of stuff. I think I can see a whole lot more of Shadow Flame. I'd like to see that, to be honest with you. I'm hoping that the Kickstarter was so successful and the hardcover comes out and does so well that you pick that up and start going back to that again. That'd be fun.
Start continuing. That was one of the goals. The Kickstarter is great as a promotional tool. Oh, like, yeah. I said before, it opens the doors for people to gain interest again. Mm-hmm. This is the first one that I did that was an established character, whereas Shadow Flame, the Mighty Titan, and to a lesser extent, Cybereens were kind of new, even though Cybereens, they were in Shadow Flame, they were cameos to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But I think that, again, I've always said this, if there's a want for something, and even sometimes if there isn't, I'll mm-hmm. do it, mm-hmm. you know. But we'll see how it goes. You know, I'm going to solicit the hardcover.
Oh, good.
Through Diamond, and hopefully it gets decent orders and I can continue.
Well, now's the time to do this kind of stuff, like I was saying. I think this is the perfect time. Our desire for storytelling has expanded beyond just the big couple of companies. Mm-hmm. If something's good and it comes from a smaller company, I think that a lot of people will get out there and promote it. And, you know, people will go out and sample it more, I think, than they used to do. So I think, as far as Shadow Flame goes, I'd like to see more of this, because I think it's just perfect for right today. You may have been like 20 years ahead of your time when you did this, but now is the perfect time for us to read these kinds of things. So I kind of like that. I'd love to see it. Of course, now, you brought up a subject that I always want to talk about, and that is, how do you get, let's say you didn't get a chance to participate in the Kickstarter as successful as it was. You talked about the fact that you're going to have them out through it. Maybe local stores will be able to order them and stuff like that. So you'll be able to do that. You go to conventions, obviously. I think I might have met you at a New York Comic Con not long ago.
Were you at New York Comic Con itself? I've been there the last 3 years.
I've been there the last two.
Okay.
And I think I remember the Red Anvil, because this Red Anvil is the name of the company that you do. And I remember I backed, I'm sure, the Mighty Titan when it was on a Kickstarter not that long ago.
I'd have to look.
You know, I remember. It was so funny. There was another book that I kept looking at and thinking, gosh, this book looks so familiar. Where mm-hmm. have I seen this before? And then I opened the book up, and they had a list of the people who supported Kickstarter, and there was my name in the middle of it. And I went,
nice.
That's why it looks familiar. I supported this thing.
That's
so
great.
I was real happy to see that. So that's kind of the fun thing. See, the great thing about Kickstarter is, unfortunately, one of the bad things about Kickstarter is there's all these wonderful products out there. Mm-hmm. And some people don't go to bookstores anymore. They order through Kickstarter. Get their books.
Right.
I can't remember them all sometimes. I look at them because I like to support them. If I see something I think is really good, I'll be out there supporting it.
Right.
And so I like that kind of stuff. But, you know, unfortunately, you've got to get in the stores to get any kind of fan base. Mm-hmm. You know, that's good. And granted, Kickstarter gives you a good fan base. There's no question about that. But when you've got to get more, you know, more exposure and do more with it, because, you know, this could be an animated show. As far as I'm concerned, this could be, especially with the CW things going on, they got fixing and animation, they got all stuff. This could easily be an animated series, and lots of fun, lots of things to go on, because there's lots of networks that now have these things.
Right.
And I just think this would be a great book. You could have a series with the Mighty Titan, and, you know, could alternate different characters going on in the animation and stuff like that. But,
well, it's all tied together. Like, if you read all my books, mm-hmm. you know, you'll see that it's all tied together, and it's one cohesive or semi-cohesive universe, what I'm trying to build. And Dave as well, my partner Dave Ryan, once we joined forces in 2012, our whole idea was to set up a universe that was cohesive and continuity. And so his characters and my characters now live in the same universe. Shadow Flame was first in my universe. And if you read through, the Mighty Titan came in probably about 2 years after the destruction of Las Vegas. So this whole thing, you know, I have another book that we did for the War of the Independence, which originally was going to be a new Shadow Flame number one, mm-hmm. where Titan and Maldestrak actually gets repowered. Spoiler alert, I should probably say that first. But Maldestruct gets repowered by one of Dave's villains for the War of the Independence, and he becomes the big bad for issue 3, where he literally trounces like 50 of the biggest indie superheroes in the world. And I had an idea to do a 2.5 issue where you actually see Maldestruct go after Shadowflame, and he pummels him, and Titan comes to help. So that I have a book that came out where there's that fight with Maldestruct against Titan and Shadowflame. You know, Maldestruct against the two of them, which again, they get trounced because Maldestruct's just, I mean, he's 1,000 years old, you know. If Shadowflame's had the power now, even though it's the 20th anniversary, maybe he's had the power 5 years. It's not enough to, you know, he mocks him all the time. He said, "You're still trying to beat me with your fists." There's so much more to this power that you don't even see, right? So
very good. Now, of course, you had another person helping Shadowflame, and what I saw was the fifth issue was the Wraith.
Yeah.
Who's very much, he's kind of a Batman-ish character, much more.
That's a buddy of mine, Frank Dershowitz. We've done a couple of crossovers together. We met probably early 2000s, and the two characters just seemed to go together, like you said, like a Batman and Superman type thing. And one of his artists, who I'm friends with now, did a drawing just out of the blue of the two characters. And it just was cool, you know what I mean? And we always said we'd do a crossover, and we did two so far. The one that you saw, the bombed one, and a crossover again for the War of the Independence called Curse of the Cortez Stone, with another character named Johnny Saturn. But he's definitely, he doesn't like to admit too much that he's a Batman-ish character, archetype, however you want to put it. But he's very, he's very Batman-ish.
Well, you know, in these days, you know, it's hard to come up with a character that's completely original. You know, I'm sorry. Batman and Superman came out in the 1920s, 1930s, and almost every character on some level is related to some hero that came out in that way. And so I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's what you do with the characters that makes them stand out. And so that's why I like that team up between the two of them was great fun. You know, like Batman, Superman-ish in the sense that they don't necessarily get along all the time, but they have their own strengths and weaknesses, and they kind of help each other.
Sure. In that way, definitely.
Which I like. And I, because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't like it when, like, when Superman and Supergirl team up, what's the difference?
Right.
You know, I would much rather see Superman and Batman because they are so different. They have different things going on. And when you have these happening with these two characters, I really like that because I really got into it and I was like, these characters have a lot of interesting play between each other. So,
well, that was the idea. That was me trying to write a Superman Batman story.
Well, I'd like to see them again, to be honest with you. I thought that was great fun. Of course, the bad guy's name is Atomico.
Right.
Which I liked. Of course, I always like atomic nuclear power things because nuclear power things is always considered a bad thing. And then we have a villain named Atomic in his name. I always like the Atomic Skull, things like that. I always am drawn to that because I think it's kind of cool.
It's like a 1950s type thing, you know, like old pulp type villains where, you know, at the Atomic Skull, like you said. I always like the word atomic, and all my villains play on words like there's a villain that is sort of out, but not really, called Evilastic. You know, he's a bad stretch guy. So, you know, it's like the Joker and Plastic Man got together and had a kid.
Now, you got a cover, a wraparound cover by John Byrne.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Do you know John Byrne? Did you approach him about it? Or how'd you get that to happen? Because he doesn't do all that much in the way of drawing anymore.
Well, remember, that one was done in 2008, probably. Okay. 2007 or 2008. I was on his forum a lot, and I had gotten a couple of other things, you know, a couple of commissions where he drew, actually the first thing he drew for me was Shadowflame holding apart the Hulk and Superman. And then he drew, I got him to do a couple of other things like Superman fighting the Fantastic Four, and then I talked to Jim Warden, who's his, you know, his agent, and I'm like, "What, you think John would be into this to do a wraparound cover?" And he said yes. And to this day, I see it on my wall, and I say, "Wow, he said yes."
<You know? laughs> Well, that's kind of fun. The great thing, of course, is like when someday maybe your name will be up there too, as far as it. Now, I've got to ask you though, because you're a writer artist. Are you an artist who writes? Are you a writer who draws? How does that work as far as good? Do you prefer one or the other, or do both of them have challenges you like?
I still think I'm an artist who writes. I mean, lately I've been getting more into it. So I wrote a novella, 26,000 word fantasy story, similar to like Vikings or Game of Thrones. You merge those two things and it's kind of like what I was going for. But now I write scripts, whereas before, that's what I was saying earlier about the Marvel way. I'd sketch everything. That's how I would literally draw my pages on ruled paper, you know, like a regular notebook with a Bic pen, and just sketch it all out. And then I'd go and I'd look at it and I'd draw and then script to the drawings. So I evolved, I guess, when I wrote Ripper Man, I wrote everything as a script. Mm. So, yeah, it's interesting to
stretch those muscles.
Well, to do it a different way. Yeah, I'm learning. You know, I think I'm always learning something new. And I think I'm getting to the point where I can call myself a writer, you know, but I'm still an artist who likes to write.
I've got to be honest with you. There have been a lot of artists who, when they start to write, actually have a lot. I mean, Brian Hitch is proving that he's a good writer, as well as a great artist. You know, I enjoy his scripting and how he does I mean, he's doing Justice League, for heaven's sake. You don't start at the top very often. So there he is doing all this wonderful stuff. And I really enjoy the stories that he's telling. He likes the multi-part epic thing going on all the time, which I like, because these days that's the way it goes. I mean, TV's even like that now.
Right.
You return on 24 and you get 24 episodes in the same day.
Yeah.
So you get all these things going on. So nowadays we're more oriented towards that. So I kind of like that stuff. I think that's a great way to do it. So once again, I think that you may not realize at the time, but you were probably ahead of the curve as far as those things were going.
Well, I always like serialized things, you know, so serialized stories where at the end of one story, there's a lead into the next one, right? So even though you end, you could read this comic and it's all in one, you want to go to the next one because you know something else is going to happen, like the end of the Atomico story. You know something big is going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I won't spoil that here, but there's a huge cliffhanger at the end of that story. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, whoa. I said, see, that's when that kind of stuff happens, I kind of go like, that can't be the end. Mm-hmm. There's got to be more going on. You've got more planned, or at least in mind, of what you can do.
Right.
These characters. So I
got a lot in my noggin.
Well, good. Well, let's hope you get out of your noggin and onto the paper, or onto the page, because there's a lot of interesting storytelling going on in these good books, which leads me to my next question. Now, the name of the company is Red Anvil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you guys have a website, right? Red Anvil?
Yes.
Is it? What's the website?
RedAnvilComics.com.
Okay. And you're on Facebook, aren't you? I think you are, because I saw something about that on there.
Yeah, we have a Red Anvil Comics Facebook page. I have my own Facebook. I have an author Facebook page. I have too many Facebook pages. But there is one for Shadow Flame and the Mighty Titan and Cyberines and all that. I've started to concentrate on branding myself instead of the characters, because you do different books and then you have to start bringing someone on another page. Right. So I'm still keeping the pages that are for the characters, but I'm starting to post more on my actual author page.
Oh, cool. Well, see, that's a good thing to do, because then it's easier for you to get the word out about stuff you're doing if it goes through your page or your website, things like that. Instead of having to constantly be building and changing websites, you get to do it once. And that's always the best way to do it. So I like that. So speaking of that, and one thing I do want to mention is, too, you can go out in Comixology and find all this good stuff out there, a lot of good things out there. And you can take those, and, you know, for those people who may not want to have paper copies of everything, you can go down and like, say, the Mighty Titan has a Volume 1 edition out there.
There's a 5-issue. We put it together with in a trade. Yeah, everything, mostly everything. There's a few things that we have that kind of sold out, but almost anything that we've published, you can get on our web store, either on the Facebook page or redanvilcomics.com. Dave's really good at getting that stuff out quick.
Good, because I always like to say that Comixology, to me, is it puts every issue of your comic is on par with Action Comics, let's say. You get the same shelf space as Action does or Detective does. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like I've said this many times, as I go through looking, if I got a little extra money and I want to buy something that I haven't seen before, I'll go through and see what stands out to me and I'll buy it. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten into many series that way, because I see something I like, I buy it, and then I start to read it, and I really want to get into these kinds of things. So I think that there's a lot of goodness out there, and probably the best thing to do is look up your name, Joe Martino, and you'll get all these wonderful books that you've
been reading. Oh, yeah. I think we have something like 12 series up there.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm not sure how many are mine. Maybe 6 of them are mine.
Mm-hmm. So now, as far as the future goes, you've got this going. Obviously, the hardcover's in the works. What's coming next from you and Red Anvil? What things should we be looking for?
Well, we're working on me consolidating my author page, say. We're going to consolidate our books to a certain extent, whereas the end of Titan 6, the end of Cyberines 5, There's even going to be something added to the Shadowflame hardcover. Mm. It's all leading into a book that Dave and I are working on called The Worldwide Warriors, which is a JLA-type book. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue all our own storylines, so Titan story, Shadowflame story, Cyberine stories are going to be told within the pages of The Worldwide Warriors, because this way we can kind of pool our resources, we can pool our promotion bucks, however you want to put it, on one book. And we have a really superstar artist, this guy Alan Goldman from Brazil, and Dave and I are writing it, and it's looking like, I mean, to me, you wouldn't know any difference if it was sitting next to, I mean, but I like to think of that of all our comics, if it was sitting on the shelf next to a DC or a Marvel comic, you wouldn't know which one to pick, because it just, you know, we're trying to get to that level, you know, obviously.
Of course, yeah. Now, is it going to be one story and all these storylines merge into it? Are you going to have multiple chapters, like, say, a Shadowflame chapter and a Titan chapter, or is it all going to be one story?
It's going to be one continuous story with subplots and sub-stories. So the first issue, obviously, it's going to be the first three, really, issues are them coming together, you know, and meeting each other. Some of these guys know each other. And Shadowflame, obviously, has met most of the Cyberines. Titan met one of my characters, a woman character named Caress. He met her in one of my books. So they've all kind of interweaved where they know of each other. And now where Dave's characters are more, they're newer than my characters. You know, he's had them in his brain, but he's been working on his Penance book and the War of the Independence, and he hasn't had a chance to really get his superhero character. So he has a character named Mantis, who is very Batman. Mm-hmm. A character called Haste, which is an American Indian Flash-type character. Mm-hmm. So we're basically weaving a JLA story with seven superhero characters.
These things available in local stores? I mean, are you already in the Diamond, or?
We're in Diamond, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this month, it might be now, I have to check because I'm horrible with these things. Mm-hmm. Titan 6 was in Diamond last year, but we had an issue with the printer. There was a big problem at the docks where they couldn't get us our books. Wow. So it got canceled, and now we just resolicited Titan 6. Mm-hmm. So Worldwide Warriors will be when it's all done. We want to get three issues done before we even solicit it.
Well, that's good.
This way, we'll do it bimonthly, and we'll have 6 months in the can before we even start, before it even gets out.
That's the way to do it. Don't solicit something before you got it.
Right, always.
Because then people get disappointed. And the one thing you don't want to do, if you go out and say you're going to do something, be sure you can do it.
Right.
Don't disappoint people, because they'll remember that, unfortunately. We have good memories when something disappoints us. Mm-hmm. We don't remember so well when something was like, oh, boy, that was really great. What was that I was just talking about? You know, kind of stuff. And your stuff is all great. I remember seeing your booth at New York Comic Con. You have a very nice display. I think you were in a corner.
Yeah,
times right. I saw you.
Yep.
And I like the books. I always encourage people to support indie comics that are doing quality work. And I think that your stuff is really great. So if you see anything by Red Anvil and Joe Martino and the rest of your crew, I would highly encourage people to pick it up, especially now that it's the holiday season. Now's the time to give out stuff for the holidays to the comics fans that you know and stuff like that. And give them something that they may not be as familiar with, to say, you know, DC or Marvel or something like that. But that doesn't mean it's not good, because it's really good. I really enjoy what I've seen so far of you guys. And so, again, I highly recommend Red Anvil. Get the stuff, because it's really, really good. The Shadowflame was really enjoyable as a read. I just thought it was so wonderful. And Titan is terrific too. And all these books, I think, are stuff that now's the time to jump on, because I think you guys are just about to burst through and get up to the next level, because the stuff's really high quality. I really like it.
Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate that.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's a wrap for this episode. And in coming weeks, I'll have some great interviews, so be sure to be here. But until then, keep reading your comics.